The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Hello?
Hello, is this Udo?
Yeah, on the phone.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Gene calling from Third Eye Cinema.
Hi.
Heile Geburtstag.
Yeah, my Geburtstag, sehr gut. A lot of work.
Yeah, I can see having to work on your birthday is not the best. I'm sure you'll celebrate later.
Yeah, we will do.
So how long have you been in New York? Did you just come in today?
We arrived yesterday.
Hope you had a good flight.
Yeah, the flight was, everything was okay, no problem. Direct flight, everything was, in a way, easy.
So how was the weather over there in Germany?
It was cold, really cold. They are still waiting for the spring.
So if you're ready, let's get rolling.
Yeah, we can do.
Listen to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema. Tonight, the man, the myth, legendary metal vocalist Udo Dirkschneider on the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Proudest musical moments as we feature none other than a living legend. With roots in the metal scene going back to the late 1970s, he fronted one of the premier bands of German metal, the Mighty Accept. With his throaty, glass-gargling yet powerful vocals shoring up Wolf Hoffman's neoclassically based compositions, he helped put Accept at the very top echelons of traditional heavy metal. After delivering 7 molten slabs of unforgettable and still influential anthems, including such classic platters as Restless and Wild, Balls to the Wall, and Metal Heart, he broke off to begin his own equally hard-hitting, stubbornly and persistently traditional metal band, UDO. Despite and throughout the musical nadir of the 90s, where such sorry substitutes as grunge, hip-hop, and alternative dominated the airwaves and practically demonized the sound worldwide. With such anthemic, unwaveringly 80s-style albums as Animal House, Holy, and Mission No. X, he stayed true to his roots in delivering the goods for over 35 years, as shown in dramatic relief on the recent Live in Sofia, whose content spanned his entire career with both bands. On the cusp of releasing his 14th album with UDO, Steelhammer, please join us for an entertaining and often revelatory career-spanning interview with the one and only Udo Dirkschneider, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But first, just to give you an idea what we're talking about, here's UDO performing a classic from the very dawn of his career with Accept, because I'm a rebel.
And here's some called I'm a... I'm a man.
We have with us tonight a living legend, a man who's fronted not one but two great metal bands, leading the charge of German metal way back in the late 70s and early 80s. He fronted the Mighty Accept, giving extra crunch and bite to Wolf Hawk's classically influenced traditional metal compositions on all the classic albums fellow metalheads from back in the day remember. Joining forces with members of Warlock, he split off to form his own hard-hitting band in 1987 and has been performing the same powerful traditional metal right to the present day. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming one of the greatest frontmen in metal, Mr. Udo Dirkschneider. Udo, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Yes. So what can I say?
So first off, how do you work for the band? Is it actually U-D-O with the periods after it, like if it's in print, or you just say Udo?
They say Udo, but also meanwhile it's like U-D-O, you know? It's like you have some dots in between. This was just making up for a logo, but now you can say also United Democratic Organization if you want.
So, you actually have two irons in the fire. First off, AFM's doing some remastered re-releases of most or all of the Udo back catalog.
Yes.
And you've also got a new album coming out next month called Steelhammer. Now,
yes.
I've only heard the single Metal Machine off of that album, but it seems like the same classic Udo sound.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, this album is a little bit different. I mean, Stefan is not anymore in the band.
Right.
I mean, it was not so easy that he stepped out, but, I mean, his health problem, you know, with his back,
yeah.
It was not possible anymore to tour and stuff like that. So, and then he said, okay, give me a break, but I don't want to be the producer and songwriting, but I don't want to be involved in songwriting on this new album. So, and then for me, it was like stepping in cold water after all these years working with Stefan. And then I knew that the bass player, Fitty Wienhold, he has good ideas. I mean, he was also a songwriter already on the Rev Raptor and Dominator album. And so then, I mean, I live very near to Fitty, and yeah, then we just say, okay, give it a try. And so here we go. In the end, we wrote the whole album together, and it worked out very well and easy. I mean, it was in the same way like I was working with Stefan. Then another point was, who will be the producer? Then one name came into my mind, of course, Michael Wagner.
Right.
But he was busy with Lordi. And then I said, But then said, okay, again, another cold water, but I mean, I was already working as a producer together with Michael in the 80s. So, and then I said, okay, I don't want to do this alone. There's a co-producer that I took also, Fitty. And, what can I say? I mean, the difference definitely between the last couple of albums is Stefan was more working in computer stuff. Or with computer stuff. And I said, okay, I want to go a little bit more back to the older days. So I want to have the musicians at the studio. I'm going to work with them face to face. And yeah, when you listen to the album, I think it's back to the basic and it's more a live feeling on this album. And of course, it's also guitar-wise a little bit different. Of course, we have a new guitar player, Andriy Smirnov, and he was doing all the guitar work on this album. So we had a little problem with Igor, time problem. So yeah, that was, I mean, after 15 years, he told me, I can just be 2 days at the studio, then I have to fly back home. And I said, Igor, this is not possible. I mean, I was working with Stefan over the computer, but I said, okay, Stefan is not anymore in a band. I do it in a different way. And so then we have to look for a different guitar player. It was planned that Igor was replaced in a way Stefan. So, and then we had just planned to do an audition with, in a way we were lucky, so it was just planned to do an audition with Andre, and then he came over, but then the audition was a little bit longer than it was, around 4 weeks, and he did all the guitar work on the new album.
Wow, that's actually a lot of work to pull this together. I didn't realize you went through so much.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the songs was already written, but he did a great work on solos, and he was changing also some riff stuff, you know, but right. That shows us already that we did the right choice to get Andre as a guitar player. And then the second thing was not planned to change this also the second guitar player, but then when Igor saw what's coming up at UDO in 2013, he made the decision to quit the band. We said, Igor, are you sure you want to do this after 15 years, throw everything away?
Right.
Yeah, this is going too much for me. I have too many side projects going on, blah, blah, blah. And then we have to look for a second guitar player. And I mean, we had nearly 300 demo tapes, you know, when we announced that we are looking for a new guitar player to replace Stefan Kaufmann. So, and there was also one guy left in the end. That was Kasperi Halkin from Finland. And then we called him up and say, are you still interested to do this? And it takes 1 hour. And we had a second guitar player, so what can I say? I'm really, really lucky. I'm really lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I am actually really looking forward to this, just knowing that you went back to analog, because, you know, being an old-school metalhead like myself, I prefer that sound to the more modern Pro Tools server thing. But I had no idea you went through so much stuff to build up this album and get this band back together, so thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm thinking that Dilemma is also, for me, a different album also composing-wise or song-wise, let's say it in this way. I mean, I did a ballad just with a piano. I never did this before. Then we have a song in the end, there's a real orchestra going on.
Oh, wow.
And I sing one song in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, so here we go. I mean, I did already some songs in Russian. But this is, what can I say? I mean, there's a lot of different stuff going on this album. Speed songs, real speed songs, real heavy songs, up-tempo songs, mid-songs, I don't know. There's really a lot of different stuff on this album. And also a lot of songs on this album. So the normal CD will have 14 tracks. And the Digi, or how you call it, album.
Yeah,
Digibag, they have one more. So that means 15 songs. So there's a lot of stuff.
You know, of all metal vocalists from back in the day, one of the absolute last guys I'd expect to still have the same voice 25 years on was Udo Dirkschneider. So how the hell do you do it?
What can I say? I mean, I think also I'm very lucky. I mean, I do nothing special. I don't have any lesson, training, or whatever. I mean, I just go at the studio, sing, also on stage, just go out and sing.
Right.
That's it. And I mean, and I know that a lot of singers have big problems right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really lucky. I'm really lucky.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, your voice is like you're gargling glass sometimes. And yet, your latest album, Live in Sofia, sounds just like Restless and Wild, Bolts to the Wall, Metal Heart, Animal House. I mean, it's amazing. Especially all these years later.
So. What can I say?
I have to ask a few questions about the early days before we bring us up to present dance. So here goes. Except went through a number of changes over the years. Now, you couldn't really compare the first two or three albums to the three that I just mentioned. They were a very different sound. And everyone was a progression. There was a different dynamic and approach to each. One classic Accept album that I didn't mention before was Breaker. I had a strange version on LP, which had a sort of unlisted radio edit of Son of a Bitch. I think I gave it to a band's drummer because it pissed me off. The version that I have is like you're kind of muttering some cussing, and then the chorus had these garbled alternate lyrics like, Buttery Witch, kiss my arm. I've never heard mention is cut anywhere. It gives a lot of laughs, though. So were you aware of this version?
Yeah, this song is totally written against record companies.
Right.
But at this time, I think the record companies, they had big problems, you know, it's a motherfucker and stuff like that.
Right.
And kiss my ass and stuff like that. So and then they said, okay, for Germany it's okay, but for the rest of the world we have to change it. Yeah, that was the reason.
Okay, so I actually got the more common version then. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how much of an input back then did Gabby Hoffman, who was also Wolf's wife and produced many of the classic Accept albums in the name of Deffy, have on the band and its music? Because I've heard that she co-wrote a fair portion of the songs, which seems a bit far-fetched to me. Was that true?
She was involved in lyrics, but not in the music, just in lyrics, you know. She came up with some ideas and stuff like that. So you can say she was involved in the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
But not in the music. No. That is completely wrong.
There's another question I have about the early days, which is that at least over here, the first two records were released just as Accept. You know, the one with the veiled woman with the chainsaw and the other one with the sword, which later got retitled to I'm a Rebel. Was there any reason behind that?
The first album was just called Accept.
Right.
And the second one, the name, normally the title of the album was Everywhere I'm a Rebel.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so.
I must have a weird one.
I don't know.
So, when you broke with Accept after Russian Roulette to form UDO, what was the story behind that? Because I understand most of the music for Animal House, which is a great record all around, was written by some of the Accept guys, and they're even credited as performing on the track, Lay Down the Law.
Yeah, the story is so, I never left Accept, so in a way you can really say, I want to say they fired me in a nice way, they gave me the Animal House album.
Okay.
They tried to be more commercial, but so this is history. But, I mean, the Animal House album was normally the following album after Russian Roulette.
Okay.
So, and then they decide to be different. I don't know in which way, but then they said, okay, yeah, you can have all the songs on what we did for this album. And then for me, it was an easy start with UDO.
Right.
In a way, I have to say thank you very much. But I think it was, for me, completely wrong what they did at this time.
Okay.
But anyway, history.
Right. Just talking about that, though, you also had defectors from Warlock in the band, Frank Bertel and Peter Zaghetti. So it was like you had pulled from two of my favorite German metal bands of the era to make that first record. So why did those two guys leave so quickly?
I had Peter Zaghetti and Matthias Deed on the guitars on the Animal House album, and the bass player and an unknown drummer. But, you know, after recording the album, you know, when you are together for a long time, it's in a studio and start rehearsing stuff like that, this is not so easy to clean. It's just a feeling. It says this is not the right lineup.
Oh, okay.
So then I had to talk to the two Warlock guys and said, guys, sorry, but I got the feeling that it doesn't fit really, you know.
I understand.
So, and then I get a bass player from Accept. Well, he was a bass player before Peter Baltus in Accept, Ruba. And I had Andy Zuzemil. It was a friend of Matthias Deed. But Dieter Rubach was quitting after the first tour with UDO. Then I found Bodo Smosinski and Stefan Schwarzmann also on drums. And that was the lineup, I think, for a long time with UDO.
Yeah. I would say that you carried most of those guys over the next few records, you know, through Knee Machine, Faceless World, Time Bomb.
Yeah, and what can I say? I mean, I played with them together last year on the Wacken Festival. So we have the 25th anniversary of UDO.
Right.
And that was like also something, you know, to play with these guys again, but they still can do it. Interesting. So the only guy was changing was Stefan Schwarzmann, so my son was doing the four songs, and yeah, it was also interesting to play with my son on stage, and yeah, what can I say, it was a lot of fun.
That's got to be something you're proud of, you know, to bring him into
Yeah, definitely.
Then you wound up going back to rejoin Accept for three albums, Objection Overruled, Death Row, and Predator. Now,
yes.
The question is, what occasioned that reunion?
They came up with a reunion and said, yeah, if you're interested, blah, 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 to do this. And then I said, yes, but first I want to hear some songs, you know.
Right,
what
right.
kind, is this real Accept or is it something else? And yeah, I mean, the Objection Overruled album is a fantastic Accept album.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, what can I say? The whole shit starts again.
Ah.
With Death Row and also with Predator. Definitely with Predator. I mean, then, I don't know, there were so many bad things going on behind, you know, there's a long story behind. But then I think we said, okay, then it's better to split up before
right.
the whole name Accept is destroyed. And then I started with UDO again.
Right.
Yeah, and then I did only one more time Accept. That was in 2005 when we did a festival thing over the summer.
Right.
We played some festivals in Europe. But this was, in a way, you can say, just more relaxed. So there was no reunion planned, something that was just, in a way, to do it one more time with the old songs until the Russian Roulette album, you know.
Right.
And so, and that was it for me.
So these records, the Accept records, the UDO records we've been talking about, they all took place pretty much during the heyday of grunge, where crappy acts like Alice in Chains and Pantera kind of ruled the scene over here in the States. So
mm-hmm.
was your brand of straight-ahead traditional metal still well-received in Europe and the rest of the world, or this whole sea change in music and the snotty attitude to his metal that was prevalent over here in the 90s hurt you guys?
Yeah, but I mean, that was also a problem with Accept when we did the
Death
Row album, you know. They tried to be more in this direction, you know.
Right.
But I say, guys, this is completely wrong. I mean, stay for what you are, you know.
Exactly.
And I mean, we Accept was creating something in the metal scene. But poof, what can I say? Yeah, and I mean, then also when I started the second time with UDO, I mean, in the beginning, in 96, still, metal was not so popular. It was not so easy to start again, you know.
Exactly.
But here we go. I think if you stay for what you are, I think the fans will realize this, you know.
It all comes back
around. Appreciate it.
Exactly.
So,
that's what I was trying to get at, because, you know, you're a survivor and you've been through so much history and going right back to the 70s. Like,
oh, yeah.
How do you stick with this? You know, even sometimes when there's not, at least over here, there's no support towards this kind of music, and yet you kept
mm-hmm.
going. So that's what I'm trying to tap into here.
But, you know, I think, or what I heard, let's say it in this way, but I heard the metal scene is also becoming stronger now again in America.
It is. It's coming back.
So it's good. Here we go.
So, after, you know, this whole incident we're talking about, you brought fellow veteran Stefan Kaufman with you, like you had mentioned, and he had remained by your side till very recently. And Fiddy Vinehold on bass has been with you ever since. The lineup from Solid stayed with you straight through No Limits. But you picked up a few new guys for Holy, which is one of my favorite records from that period of the band. It's a very strong album all around.
Yeah, I have to be open-minded. I mean, and I don't want to hide anything. Why we split up with Stefan Schwarzman and Jürgen Graf on guitar was like a problem, a drug and an alcohol problem. So that was not possible for me to work with these guys anymore. And then we found Igor Gianola and
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, yeah.
Lorenzo Milani on drums.
Yeah, you know. And so Lorenzo, in the end, it was a shame that he quit with UDO, but there was a private problem going on, you know. His sister was dying by a heart attack, and he was very young. She had three kids, and he was passing off completely, totally, you know.
Right.
So, and then we had to look for a new drummer, and now Francesco is with us since 2004. That means it's already 8 years.
These two guys, Lorenzo and Igor, had stayed with you until very recently, which kind of makes that the point where you settled in with a very steady lineup. So did you think that that helped you, being able to work with essentially the same band since 1999?
Maybe.
You also began to introduce some little bit of industrial or electronic elements to your sound over the years. Do you think that that helps the sound, or are you moving towards a slightly different demographic with that, maybe a more modernistic sound?
That's what I said in the beginning, you know, production-wise. I was not really happy, but I don't want to say anything bad against Stefan, you know. That this is not the meaning. But I was not really happy with the sound of Dominator and Rev Raptor. For me, the albums, there was a cold feeling on it, you know.
Yeah.
There was too much computer things in there. And that was already what I was talking about after the Rev Raptor album with Stefan. I think we have to change it. I mean, this is going to... The songs are very good, but the sound is really cold, you know. And that was also a point. Definitely, if Stefan would be the producer of Steelhammer, that has to be completely different, you know, also a different work for Stefan.
Right.
But, here we go. We didn't have to talk, it was, just happened like this now.
Right. And again, I just want to say that we're very much on the same page with that, because I believe in just having guitar, drums, bass, vocals, and get out there and do it, as opposed to let's do all this fancy stuff on the computer. But, you know, a lot of people don't agree, so I just want to see where you guys were going with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's say computers are very helpful if you're arranging stuff, you know. Everything goes very quick. In the old days, you have to do a long pre-production at a studio. It costs a fortune of money. But now the computer is helping you in a way, by composing-wise, you know. You can change breaks here, doing this and this in a couple of seconds. That's the only thing for me where our computers are helpful.
Well, that's actually how I look at them. It's like a tool that will save you money and save you time, and you can do some extra stuff that maybe you don't need a, you know, high-profile producer to do. You can do now with the equipment, but, you know, that's not an excuse to just use it as out-of-the-box kind of, you know, let's sound like everybody else kind of a thing. Not that you were doing that, but... So I have to say that I was really quite surprised by last October's Live in Sofia, because you're doing songs from both Accept and throughout your entire career with UDO, and they're very strong. I mean, it's amazing that the sound remains this fresh and powerful after such a long career. I mean, you even covered I'm a Rebel, and it sounds just as good as when it was first recorded.
Yeah, so why not? Yeah, the Live from Sofia is like chose in a way, you know, the whole history. I mean, you cannot put everything on it. And I think Stefan did a great job on mixing this whole thing. So I think this DVD was really selling well. We were number one in Finland, in Germany, number four in Sweden, number seven. So it was a really good selling DVD, and all the people say, yes, a very good one.
Yeah, very much. So we're talking about you getting a steady lineup here with Stefan, Fiddy, and Igor. The new album has another lineup, like you had mentioned before, you know, you and Fiddy, plus Francesco Giovino, who had taken over drums in 2005. And then this pair of young guys that you had mentioned recruiting, you know, Andrei Smirnov from Russia and Kasperi Häkkinen from Finland. So now you're a truly international band.
Yeah, there's not a German band anymore. No. But, you know, when I was looking for a guitar player, I mean, I was not looking for a famous one. I want to have a young one and unknown one, you know. And the interesting thing is both of them are really huge UDO fans. So Andre, he was going to all the UDO concerts that we did in Moscow, and Kasperi saw all the shows in Finland.
Right.
So they know sometimes much more than me about UDO, you know. And it's also easy, you know, they know all the UDO songs. I mean, this is also easy working, you know.
Right.
So in a way, you can say I have now an international band with a Teutonic touch.
Yeah. So I think you may have already answered this question, but I was going to ask, what do you think these two guys bring to UDO and the sound that we can expect on the new record?
Yeah, definitely, Andre. In a way, it's like, how can I explain it? He is, the sound is like the basic of UDO, but, you know, the young guys, and that's why I was looking for younger guys, is they play it in a different way. What we call, in a way, they are a different generation, and they play it in a modern way. Let's say it in this way.
You've also changed labels several times over the years, with your first AFM release being Thunderball back in 2004. So
yeah,
how do you find
time.
Working with AFM as opposed to some of the earlier labels in terms of promotion, reach, or just general feel?
I had for a long time my own record label. I had enough of all these record labels. I was doing everything on my own. But, I mean, in the old days when I was working with BMG and Universal stuff, I mean, it was number 100, I don't know, and you couldn't really talk to them anymore, you know. And so now with AFM, it's a small label, but they can handle this kind of music, and you can talk to them, you know. So how you want to do this and this and this, the main points on the next album, promotion-wise, stuff like all this stuff, you know. You can, let's say in this, you can talk to the people.
As listeners probably know, you did a duet with Duro Pesh, Dancing with an Angel on Man and Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because of that, you were interviewed briefly on one of the two Duro DVD collections from a few years back, where you made this amusingly grumpy comment about the music business, about how, like, shitty the music industry was, and telling everybody, don't get involved. Is it really as bad as all that?
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know.
Fair enough. So, what keeps you doing this year after year with so many changes going on in the band, labels, and the world around us? Because it has to take some hardcore dedication.
No, I mean, there's not so many changes going on, you know. But if you know what you want to do, then everything is, in a way, easy.
You're currently touring the States. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, what can I say? I mean, we don't do that much shows in the States. We do just 9 shows in the States and 3 in Canada. So, but this tour is just, in a way, doing a lot of promotion stuff. I mean, have tons of interviews to do, but it's good to see that a lot of interests are there. I mean, of course, we want to see how the shows are going, you know, how many people are coming, okay, to see what's going on, you know. And so far, I heard there's one show already sold out, and a lot of tickets are selling. So everything's looking good so far, and they're talking about that we are coming back next year to do a longer U.S. tour.
Nice. So, do you have anything you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners to your website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, I mean, they can go on udo-online.com. We have a Facebook site going on. At the moment, we build up a tour blog so that the people are informed what we're doing on tour. So, I mean, they can get all the information on this, on the website, on the Facebook.
There you
go. I think that's fair enough.
All right. So with that, Udo, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and we'd love to have
you
back on to talk your next album.
Okay. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, and highly good to board's talk again.
Thank you.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And to close out our interview with Herr Dirk Schneider, this is the promotional signal for the upcoming Steelhammer album, Metal Machine. Rock Heavy Metal Special with Jesper Binzer of DAD and Fabian Schwartz of The New Black. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker, musician, like to join us on here, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm from DAD, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema Show. Okay. You want to have an ad? Okay, let's. Hey, folks, you're listening to Third Eye Cinema, and I'm Fabian from The New Black. Keep on rocking.
That works. If you missed any part of this or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience.